Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together, in which I strive to fulfill my mission of this broadcast, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live at the end of the half hour that you give me out of your busy schedule. I'm broadcasting today from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon, Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to Stockholm, the capital of the Kingdom of Sweden, on the other side of the world, streaming live, always unrehearsed and always unscripted, on 101.9 on the FM band and voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who have sent me messages, strengthening messages of love and support as a result of my placing myself on the binnacle list. There are three of them in particular that I'm going to mention because they struck a particularly responsive chord with me. And the first one comes from DJ, who is one of my people on the Coast Guard channel. And he sent me a signal and he said, Captain Joe, you have been south many times and you have always returned victorious. And DJ, you're absolutely right, and I use the term South in a pejorative sense, and I should not have done that, because all of my time headed South were both productive, they were in command of wonderful people who were of like mind as their captain, and who were not daunted by any of the places that I took them and any of the challenges that I gave them. South is the title of the book that Sir Ernest Shackleton himself wrote as the description of all of his expeditions to the South. So the South to me, and when we're talking about the South, I'm talking about anything below 60 South, which takes us into the region that is protected by the Antarctic Treaty. And I have only the best of memories and a sense of accomplishment. There is even the Wubble Glacier south. So I'm not going to use the term headed south again. And should things turn a little bit sour, not south, but sour, in my own voyage, I will report those accurately and knowing that I will receive those strengthening messages. For the captain shall show no fear. The second one came to me from one of my Coast Guard-related listeners, Laura, here on the island, the magical isle. Laura and Ron, who is a retired Coast Guard captain himself, have inducted me into their family. They have Coast Guard juniors in their family, and they have inducted me into their family, and they are friends of family rank as well as being Coast Guard people. I had a note from Laura, and she said, Captain Joe, I don't know how you do it, but when I came away from your broadcast, I was smiling. And the reason that I hope you, Laura, and all other people who listen to those broadcasts, and in particular the last one in which I got a little bit more descriptive, will always take away from them this sense of optimism that I carry with me every day. So I thank you for your note. I am delighted that you came away from the broadcast at the end of it with a smile, a lovely smile. And your message was indeed a strengthening message. The third one was from a friend of mine, Chris, whose parents are friends, also friends of family rank, and they were handed to me by Mary R. They were friends of Mary's long before Mary and I came together. And Chris is their daughter. And Chris had sent me a signal about the positive attitude that I project. This positive attitude is not something that I have fabricated or created. It is something that I really believe. And should it turn out, and I've not yet been able to get the next most definitive test, I've not been able to get that scheduled yet. So the whole business of defining what we're dealing with and then dealing with it in a smart and seaman-like fashion eludes me to some extent so far, but I remain, as always, not only optimistic, but up in the captain's chair and carrying out all of my duties and responsibilities. The binnacle list today has a couple of additions. One of them is my young friend Sean, who is about to, not my son Sean, but another Sean. Apparently, Sean's were springing up like mushrooms in a spring rain at the time that all of them were born. In any case, this is a friend Sean, not my son Sean. And he is facing tomorrow some very, very serious surgery. So he goes on the binnacle list, and my friend, colleague, engineer, and authority on all things airline, Captain O'Brien, is back on it today. I asked him how he was doing. I ask that question every week because I come in and broadcast after he does with Brown briefly. And he said, I'm not doing very well. And so I then elicited from him, being an extractive industry, what was going on. Whatever is going on, it is my wish, my hope, and my command that he find a practitioner that is going to take care of whatever it is. I told him, and I mention it here, it is not time for either of us to be rehearsing the flag-folding ceremony for the other. And it's not. So for all of Captain Joe's people that are on the binnacle list today, know that you remain firmly in the palm of my hand. Follow the instructions of your medical practitioner, and all will be well. That's what I'm doing. And I don't have anything else and further to say about that until I get this much more definitive scan. Today I am fulfilling two requests. I like to get requests, and I give you once again my email address if you want to send me a signal. It is Captain Joe, all one word, CaptainJoe, Captain Joe, at CenturyTel, CenturyTel, all one word, CenturyTel.net. Not org, not com, but .net, CenturyTel. Captain Joe at CenturyTel.net. And if there are things that you'd like me to talk about, or if there are things that which you think I've made an error, or if there are things that you would like to make a comment on, expand on something that I've said, then send me that signal. The other way you can do it is if you are a member of the Coast Guard channel all Coast Guard people who are Captain Joe's people should be members of the Coast Guard Channel, by the way. If you are a member of the Coast Guard Channel, you can send me a comment on the channel. I go on to it at least once a day, well, mostly every day. And I write for it frequently. I'm one of the administrators, and the other administrators have wisely not given me the authority to make any changes to the channel, but I am one of the administrators. I guess I'm the captain of the administrators, and when we have our irregular meetings at which we talk about the management of the channel, it is the only channel, it is the only one of that sort of thing besides LinkedIn that I belong to, by the way. So if you're a Coast Guard person, you do not yet belong to the Coast Guard channel, call it up by going on to a search engine and take a look at it, and you will find people of like mind. So that's how you can get to me, either by email to me or by sending me a comment on Coast Guard Channel with things that you'd like me to talk about, and I have two of them today. So the first one has to do with an update on Blossom. Blossom is my little black cat. She's about 15 or 16 years old now. And she is a cat that I wanted, one that nobody else wanted, and I got her. I got her from a place called Central Valley and Animal Rescue. Central Valley also rescues donkeys. If any of you would like to have one or more donkeys, I can set you up. Just let me know. We'll put them in the postal service. So she came from Central Valley. She clearly was a cat that nobody wanted because for a number of different reasons. And she has finally gotten to the point where she will reluctantly let me pet her just a little bit. It isn't that she doesn't want to be around. She does. She sleeps up on my bed. And when I put my hand into the pussy pad that she occupies, it sits on a heating pad that Michelle gave me. She now doesn't skitter away. She knows where the cat treats in a tube are, those liquid smelly ones, and she loves those. And she will come and find me wherever I'm in the house and tell me that it's time for me to break out from the DC locker one of those tubes and share. So she's perfectly comfortable in the house. She and Sailor get along really well. And but she is a mess. She has never learned how to groom herself, and she doesn't do it. And so when I went on my last trip, which was to the Glacier Reunion in New London, Michelle, she of the kitty vending machines that we have spotted all over the island, Michelle came over, captured her, and gave her a manicure. Took her down almost to the bare skin. So now I have this 16-year-old, almost raw black kitty with a very long, skinny tail because Michelle took all the fur off the tail. And she trots around the house. She trots following me around whenever it's, especially when it's rations time, whenever it's time to pipe mess gear. And she clearly does not want to go anyplace else. She clearly doesn't want to be with anybody else. And yet she is still reluctant to let me pet her. But we are making progress every day. Sailor, of course, remains Sailor as he has always been. He is my XO, one of my XOs, and he is, as he acquires chronological years, he becomes just a little bit more clingy, but other than that, he is the same staunch, sturdy guy. Those of you who have visited with me in Captain's Quarters know the way he's like. The second was a request that came to me from my friend, neighbor, colleague, and executive director and medical director of the Pacific Northwest Poison Center, Dr. Phillips. His father had been a P-47 pilot in World War II in the European Theater of Operations, and it was from his father that Dr. Phillips learned the term dead reckoning. And he came to me, and when we were dining together, I think it was last night. I know we were dining together last night. I think he came to me with this request last night, and he said, if you have time, would you give us a little bit of an explanation of the term dead reckoning? Because my father had used it, and I'm very interested in what it means. In order to fulfill that request, I went to two sources to make sure that the language that I was using was not going to be too convoluted and Byzantine. And the first place that I went was the Oxford Dictionary. There is no Cambridge Dictionary. If there were, that would be the one that I would use. I went into the Oxford Dictionary, and they have the definition wrong. The definition in the Oxford Dictionary is, for dead reckoning, a means of determining your position using estimated courses and estimated speeds. My description in a moment will show you why that definition is wrong. And I can only attribute it to the fact that whoever is the nautical expert over at Oxford, which is way up the River Thames, it is not even in a Roman city. Cambridge is a Roman city. Cambridge is an Iron Age city. There are remnants of both of those civilizations still to be found all over Cambridge. So I can only attribute it to the fact that Oxford is the home of many errors, and that this is just added to that list. The proper definition of dead reckoning, and the word dead comes from, it is a movement away from the word deduced. Centuries ago, sailors learned to do this, and it was then called deduced reckoning, and today it is called dead reckoning. Dead reckoning is a means of an approximate position based on two known factors. The first one is the course that a ship is steering, and the second is the speed that she is making. We know both of those functions precisely. The first one comes off of the compass, and today we use a gyro compass, which is accurate to within a degree, and we have ways of comparing that compass so we know what the compass error, the gyro compass error, is. So we know the course that we're steering precisely, and we know the speed precisely because a vessel that is under power runs what's called the measured mile, and so the number of revolutions per minute that the propellers are making can be correlated directly to the speed through the water. So dead reckoning does not, N-O-T, not, take into consideration current, wind, compass error, or any other errors that may be introduced into the navigational problem. You always begin a dead reckoning position from a known fix. The definition of a fix is a known position in the water. I believe that I could still drop a 5, 6, or 7 line cartwheel celestial fix onto a paper chart. I think I could still do it. And so a fix is a known position on the chart, a paper chart. I use only paper charts, not electronic charts. And from a known position called a fix, we then lay out on the chart the direction that we are steering. In other words, the course that we are steering, the helmsman is steering. And we advance that to using the speed that we are making through the water. And that arrives us at a dead reckoning position. The next time that we get a fix, we notice that the dead reckoning position is different from the actual fix position. And that is caused by a number of factors, but they are all lumped together into one factor called current. I hope that the description that I have given, which is a simplification of the one which is given in Bowditch, you will remember my discussion about Bowditch, Nathaniel Bowditch, 1802, the American practical navigator, has been published in this country ever since. I own the 2024 edition of the American Practical Navigator, known to all professional sailors as just Bowditch. The chapter on dead reckoning in Bowditch is 5 pages long, and I have distilled that into the description that I've just given you. A dead reckoning position is one which consists only of the course which the helmsman is steering and the distance for the speed that she's making through the water. And then we compare that to the next fix. Now, clearly, you can see that as you keep on using dead reckoning positions and advance them along your course line, that more and more errors are going to come into it because the wind, the water currents, if you have a compass error that you've not, you don't get to figure that in, all of those other things that cause errors are lumped in together with what we call current, and that is the difference between the dead reckoning position and the actual position for the same time. If you are having trouble visualizing this, my dear and good doctor, I will show you on a chart someday. So that's my dead reckoning. And I have a kind of a sad report to make here. But before I get into that, I remind everybody that by now, all of you should have your ballots. And if you are fortunate enough to be in a place where you can go into a polling place, Washington is not one of those. We have only mail-in ballots in Washington State. And I am fully confident in the integrity of the system. There are QR codes and barcodes on the ballots and the packaging that the ballots come in that you can use to track your ballot. I am fully confident in the safety of our voting system here in the state of Washington. And for that matter, in the entire United States. We take great care with our elections so that they will indeed reflect the wishes of the voting public in America. If you are one of Captain Joe's people and you're not registered to vote, it is my wish, my hope, my desire, and certainly my command that you get out and take care of that little bit of Irish pennant business, so that you will be able to exercise that great right and obligation of citizenship. I had the little sad piece of news has to do with the Army Corps of Engineers and the Army's vessel fleet, and I'm going to leave that to next week because I want to cover one important safety news. Now, if there was ever anything that is going to make you feel better about yourself and about the world in which we live, it is this next piece, which will be my last one for today. unsolicited, I have started to receive in my email a entry several times a day called Daily Passport. When it first showed up, I said, I don't really need that. I don't want it. I've already got too much FATRA on the email, and I'm already reading too much stuff that I really don't need to read. But then I got into one. It came up with a couple of things in which I was interested in, from which I benefited, and so I kept it on. This morning, it shows up, and it says, here is the one thing that you should never do in a hotel room. I travel a lot. I'm going to continue to travel so long as I'm able. And I intend for that ability and ableness to continue for a long time. So immediately I went into this article. What is the one thing? I could think of several possibilities. What is the one thing that I should not touch in a hotel room? It turns out that it's one of the things that I touch just as frequently as I possibly can. It's not the shower head. It's not the flushing mechanism of the toilet. It is the coffee maker. This article proclaims that the coffee maker is the dirtiest thing, appliance, thing that you can touch in a hotel room. Now, out of principle, and in particular this one, do I object to the internet proclaiming to be my mother, my father, all of my brothers and sisters, and all else thereunto pertaining, with the right and the authority to tell me what I can and cannot do? And they're telling me here that I cannot touch the coffee maker. So let couriers go out to the farthest provinces and proclaim the good news that this captain is going to not only touch the coffee maker, but I'm going to use it as much and as frequently as they will leave me packets of coffee. And I even go out into the passageway and find some lovely person with housekeeping and get them to give me some extras, because I drink a lot of coffee in the morning. And because I do not suffer from insomnia from drinking coffee in the evening, I usually have some in the evening. So one of the things that this particular article says, first of all, don't touch it. But if you are going to use it, then here's how you clean it. I, the captain, am not going to clean the coffee maker in any hotel room in which I happen to be an honored guest. So furthermore, not only am I not going to clean it, I am going to use it uncleaned. I don't think the risks are very high. I think that there are many more risks, one of which is as I leave the lobby and go down to the street to go wherever it is that I happen to be going, then I probably are running a risk more likely of being run over by a large S-Class Mercedes-Benz motor car. So, the article also goes on to say, if you choose not to use the coffee maker in your room, go down to the lobby and use the coffee maker down there. But don't touch the handle, because everybody in the hotel has touched the handle of that coffee maker, and God knows how many billions of germs there are there. They use the word germ over and over and over again. My immune system is working just fine, and it will be able to handle any germs that there are that have come to lodge themselves on either my room coffee maker or on the coffee maker in the lobby, both of which I use and will continue to do so. And that is what I have to say about all of that. So this is your Captain Joe. I've come once again to the end of our time together. A little bit of sprightly persiflage, but I have fulfilled the requests that I had. And all of you who are on the binnacle list in particular are in the palm of my hand today. Know that I remain, as always, on station and watching properly. I am firmly up in the captain's chair, and I am following all of my own instructions, all of my own rules. The captain shall show no fear. We will meet here once again next week, and I will bring a couple of stories that I had for today, but I got myself into full flight over that dirty coffee maker. So know that, as always, not only am I on station and watching properly, but we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And here is my relief is coming and getting ready to sit down and broadcast. So we will meet next week.